Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 280, top of the day to you, Steph.
Hi, I just said don't start. I've started eating an
Easter egg. Oh, I didn't know what you said. I was like, are you ready?
Now I've got a mouthful of chocolate, but welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I'm going to have an Easter egg too. So little lint ones, you know, the little solid ones. They're just the right size, I think.
They're really good.
Mm, very good.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I like about the lints? How when on a really hot day, the middle can completely turn to liquid, but then if you put them in the freezer, oh, delish magic. Either way.
Mm, I agree. That was good. I need a bit of water. Hang on.
Gosh, we're so organized to begin today's podcast.
We went really, really loud and I turned our volumes down and now we're really soft.
Oh, it's like a roller coaster.
It really is. I can hardly cope. I think I've got the best quiz for you ever.
Really?
It's exactly the kind of thing you will love.
Okay, can't wait.
We've watched one series together.
Yes.
And other stuff.
Do you know, we've watched some other stuff together I don't think we've spoken about yet.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll do that as well.
Okay.
Once you remind me what it is. But I do want to get into the news first because there's quite a few things here. And the first one I think is a real Steph thing. Nicole Mosbacher.
Give me more information.
She was in The White Lotus season one. She was the mother.
Yes.
So she is not going to be in season three. There was talk that her character, Connie Britton, was going to be in the Thailand season, but unfortunately it's not the case.
Oh, shame.
Yeah, I know. The rumor was that in season three, do you remember the guy, do you remember the son, the father and the grandfather?
Yes.
Well, do you remember in season two?
Yes.
Do you remember Dom, who was the father?
Yes.
Had an estranged wife that he kept like trying to call and stuff. Oh. I think her name was Abby.
Yeah, that rings
anyway,
a bell.
Played by Laura Dern. So the whole scenario.
Did we see her?
Maybe.
Did we?
I don't know. Maybe it was just her voice that we heard.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Oh, okay. Laura Dern for just a voice is.
Which
huge.
Means, yeah, she was coming back, and so she is. And the scenario was that Laura Dern, Abby, was also Connie's sister.
Oh.
And that was going to be the connection.
Okay.
But according to Spies, she was.
Wouldn't they have. Oh, no, different season. Okay, never mind. Yeah, keep going.
She was in preliminary talks to return from season one, but because of scheduling issues, that it's been
Shame.
Impossible. And I quote, it's unclear what impact this will have on the possible in the flesh introduction of Dern's. Abby's character. Now, this could also just mean that people were too close to the truth and they're saying
they've pivoted.
Yeah, and they're saying, no, it's not the truth, but it actually is. I don't know.
So in that case then, is this where Dom had his trip? Is this her trip to get away from him?
Oh, like he comes back and she's like, well, you're here, so I'm leaving.
Yeah, or like I'm still not impressed with you and all the things you do. I'm going to have a trip to find myself, but not a trip together. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you thinking maybe.
I like the interwovenness of the seasons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like it could have, she could have left for her Thai holiday trip halfway through his Italian holiday trip. Is that what you're saying?
No, I wasn't thinking that, but I like that as well.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, he was trying to win her back. And she wasn't really super impressed with him, that maybe when he gets back, she's like, still not impressed.
Yeah.
I'm going on a holiday.
Holiday. And start singing that
yeah,
song.
Yeah, the whole way to Thailand.
Yeah, no problems. It's
nobody on the plane would have an issue with that.
12 odd hours. I don't know how long. It's probably quite a long time.
It's a lot of repeats.
Taika Waititi is a guy who directs a lot of things. And there's been talk that he you know, was going to direct a Star Wars film and then no word came out. And then at the Star Wars celebration about a month ago, they said, oh, no, he still is. Don't worry. It's okay. And we all went, all right, but there's still no word.
You're just making it up, guys.
Yeah, like, come on.
Proof of life.
And proof of life that maybe it is nowhere near being close to being filmed. He's now in talks to direct a film called Clara and the Sun. This is based on a novel, on a book, and it's about Clara, a robot created to prevent teenagers.
Not where I was expecting you to go with Clara, but
no.
Keep going.
It's about Clara, a robot girl created to prevent teenagers from becoming lonely. And it's apparently all about, like, efforts to save a family of humans, and Clara is there. But okay. I think there was a movie late last year called Megan. And it was about a robot of a similar reason, you know, similar sort of function. But she went crazy and started killing people. Like,
well, isn't
horror.
That everybody's nightmare of robots are going to take
over?
Yeah,
of course.
So even though they're meant to help us, they're just going to kill us. They're going to take over and pop us all in a little jail.
And is that jail a little pod of, like, that weird viscous thing, liquid that is in the Matrix? Like, we're...
Yeah.
And we're going to be shaved, including our eyebrows.
Yeah. And then they'll just leave us because they'll be like, this lot have no interest to us anymore. We're better than them.
Yeah.
Just leave them in that pod.
Yeah. We've actually evolved too far.
We don't care about you
for
anymore.
For any need except for you will now just give us the energy. Because that's all we were, right?
I don't remember.
I think we were just energy for them.
I think they would move past us and find their own
energy.
Way of energy, like solar.
Well, okay, this is how you don't remember The Matrix, because the humans had scorched the sun.
Yeah, but I'd moved on. I'd moved on from The Matrix.
All right. You can still remember it. Do you remember last week we were talking about Gladiator and Russell Crowe and how he was like, I didn't want to do it at first because I thought
rubbish.
It was stupid. Yeah. Well, now there's talk, and now I understand why they had him talking about it.
Oh, okay.
Because there's talk about the sequel. And Pedro Pascal is in final negotiations to join this sequel.
Oh, because he's got a little bit of a Crow vibe from back in the day, doesn't he?
And everybody loves him.
Yeah, he's the man of the moment.
Somebody's almost going to get to the point where they're like, I found something. I found something that Pedro's not in.
Yeah.
He's in everything. So he's joining Paul Mescal,
mm-hmm.
He's an Irish bloke, but his name is very close to Pascal. So I want to say Mescal, Mescal. There's also Barry Keoghan.
Yeah.
Who is Irish. Joseph Quinn, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, Ridley Scott's back to record. Well, I guess he is recording it. He's coming back to direct it.
Yeah, nice.
As well. So,
how far?
I think it's 20 years later.
Okay.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Did you watch that Ryan Murphy season series on Netflix called Monster about Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer, about the serial killer?
Yes, I think I did.
Yeah, and people were like, oh, it's really full on, but it's really good.
Yeah.
And there was some sort of controversy surrounding it as well that I've not delved too far into it, because sometimes I find when I delve into things where there's controversy or people being cancelled, I can't actually find the real problem.
Yes.
And then you've spent like half an hour trying to find it and you're like,
I've lost life
now,
doing this.
Yeah. It's been too much. Anyway, they're going to do another season. Not about Dharma, though.
Nice.
In fact, it was one of the biggest original shows on Netflix history, so they've ordered two more seasons. So I don't know what the third one is, but I know what the second season's going to be about.
Tell me.
Lyle and Eric Mendez, aka Menendez
brothers.
Yeah, the ones that killed their parents.
Yeah.
So that one will be really interesting. That happened late 80s, maybe 88, 89, something
early
like
90s.
That. They got life in prison, no parole. And it's going to be called Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story.
Okay,
so,
okay.
You know, we're sticking to that kind of naming convention. They also have exclusive access to the two brothers in real life to participate in a separate documentary.
Oh.
It's going to be on Netflix. So keep your eyes out for that one. They're both in a correctional facility is what they call it in San Diego.
Mm. Together?
Well, they've been in prison separately.
Okay.
Until 2018, and now they're in the same prison.
All right.
Or jail, what, a correctional facility.
Correctional facility.
It's a jail. Together. It's, yeah, that's exactly what it is. So that will be really interesting. If it's anything like the Dharma one, it sounds like it's going to be pretty full on. So viewers be warned, but I am assuming that if you're into serial killing, you know, serial killers and watching those kind of shows, you already know what you're getting yourself into.
I know, but still some things can be a little bit too gruesome.
Yeah, like pretty full on, you know. Yeah. Mm. But they did horrible things.
They surely did.
I mean, Dharma was pretty
awful.
He was scary.
Yeah.
Oof.
You can never have enough hats, gloves, shoes, and we are the watchers, sweetie darling.
Great, amazing quiz coming up for you later.
Can't wait.
I think you will love so much. In fact, you inspired me.
Did I?
Yeah, you inspired me. And I want to see if you remember the little moment of inspiration.
Okay.
As we get closer to it. But why don't we crack on into some watching suggestions?
Yes.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
First off, let's talk about the one that we finished last night together. We watched The Diplomat.
Okay, tell me. Two thumbs up, one thumbs down.
Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up
for
me. I
really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed this one because unlike a lot of other political dramas that are out there, this had so many moments of subtle humor. Like even in
Not even the things they were saying,
it was just the little, tiny little things that happened that it brought humour and light to it and a bit more, would you say, humanity?
I think so, because sometimes those drama, you know, we would kind of comparing it a little bit to Homeland every now and then. Not often, but every now and then. And Homeland was very serious. Like there were no jokey jokes.
You know, a show that's called The Diplomat, you're thinking it's going to be like House of Cards.
House of Cards, maybe West Wing, that kind of thing.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah.
But it had a very different flavour to it. And it was enjoyable.
Now, let's not say that it is a comedy. It's not a comedy.
No, it's not at all.
But there are some nice light moments. Kerry Russell is the main character, and she is the diplomat.
Yes.
Who goes over to England. She's the
to be the ambassador.
Yep, for the UK. And she is very different to the kind of ambassador that you usually see on these kind of shows or in real life or that kind of thing.
And very much different from somebody who would normally be part of the UK scene.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, the UK have, I mean, I guess they all do, but strict rules and there's that culture and theme.
Pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, yeah. And she's just not part of it. And when we're talking about the humour, you know, she always looks like she's had a really tough 24 hours.
You know, I was thinking about how to explain how she looks, and she looks like somebody who is an investigative reporter for probably something like the Washington Post or the New York Times or something.
Yes.
Whose editor keeps going, you have to step away. You're too involved in the story. And she's like, I have to get to the truth.
Yes.
And will go out of her way to do
stuff
in an unorthodox manner.
Yes.
That is what she looks like.
That's what she looks like. And the humor was, you know, quite often I would say, she just needs a shower. She needs a shower and wash her hair. And the humour came when, you know, one of her staff just politely knocked on the door of her office, walked in, didn't say anything, and just placed a hairbrush on her desk and then scurried out. It's those moments that you're like, that's exactly what she needs before she goes and sees the Prime Minister.
Was there any role or position or job in this show that you thought, I wouldn't mind doing that?
Not one.
I don't want any of them. Also, there's so many of them that I can't remember what they're all called.
So, look,
you know,
episode 7, and I was like, who is that
person? Who are they talking about?
I know he's high up, but what exactly is his role?
I kept talking about Ganon, and in my head I kept thinking about the baddie from Zelda games. So I was like, that's not how we do it. There was a guy in
there. Do you know what? So can I interrupt you for a second? Do you know what it had the feel of?
What?
Do you remember Newsroom?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
It kind of had that feel. Yeah, Things are actually really important, of high stress and high importance. But there were these moments where you're like, oh.
Yeah, that was good.
That's good. That's what it made me feel like. And that's where I would say, go and watch it. It's enjoyable. It's not hard work to watch.
No, except you do forget who all the people are.
Yeah.
Not when they're on screen, but when they're being spoken of. Like, they would often talk about Foreign Secretary or Denison, and Foreign Secretary is Austin Denison for the UK, played by David Gyasian. And you know how I was saying to you, I know him?
Yes.
I feel like I know him, but he looks really different, and I couldn't figure out exactly how. So I had to go and look him up, and he's in Carnival Row. He's a Graeus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in that. So, you know, obviously he doesn't have horns in this show, which is probably what was keeping me. And I think he has a beard. So he's very much disguised.
Yes.
Very much disguised. But, so many great characters. Aliane.
Yes.
She's really good as, I think she's like the, I don't know if she's not the head of CIA, but she's like the head of the UK CIA or something like that.
She's station manager for the CIA's UK branch.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. See?
Station chief, I think they said.
All these names.
Which I only know that name from Homeland.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. The Prime Minister of the UK.
He was another one that we were like, we've seen him before.
And he's in heaps of stuff. Yeah. Just have a look. Just look him up. But honestly, that character was so wonderfully horrible, but not like totally, like realistically horrible.
Yeah.
The kind of person that an alpha male in England would be.
Yes.
In that position.
But horrible enough that he said and did things you didn't expect. So he kept you on your toes.
Yeah, you were never quite sure what he was going to do. At first I thought he was a bit of a pushover, and then he became less of a pushover.
Yeah.
And then his character your impressions of that character changed constantly.
Very much so. But you know who's the most intriguing character?
Which one?
Is Kerry Russell, who's the main character, her husband.
Yeah,
so Mr.
Wyler
or Wiley.
Hal. Hal Wiley, yeah. Rufus Sewell is.
Yeah. He is the character that you are second guessing.
Also,
every which way, the whole way through.
They cast him so well because he always plays a bad guy.
Yeah.
So you're waiting for him to do something bad.
And honestly, from the first scene, you're like, what's
all
his
right,
deal?
What's he going to do?
What's he doing? She can't trust him. But then he keeps slipping, keeps changing.
Yeah. Yep. I would be very surprised if there wasn't a second season.
100% there's going to be a second season. It left us on a cliff.
It really did leave a massive cliffhanger. I also really enjoyed a tweet that I saw, and I didn't save it, unfortunately, so I'm going to have to kind of paraphrase it. It was somebody saying that they're watching Diplomat and every show that Kerry Russell has been in since Felicity as if the character is Felicity.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can see this is Felicity.
Early on in episode one. You're like, that's a Felicity.
That's a Felicity thing to do.
I'm like, Felicity could not be this diplomat. She could not be an ambassador because she'd second guess herself every which way.
She really
would. And then want to go and sit in her RA's office and just talk it through.
Yeah. And then might send a video, a cassette.
A cassette
recording to her pen pal. That's on Netflix. Only 9 episodes, very bingeable. What else have you been watching?
So talking about bingeable things, and we've spoken recently a lot about shows just being a smaller number of episodes, and we've really enjoyed it. You know, I think The Unusual Suspects I spoke about last week was only 4 episodes, The Diplomat's only 9. So I started watching this show on Netflix as well called Manifest, and I was expecting it to be of a similar amount. Watching it, and we've gone, oh, how many episodes left of this season? You know, it's coming to a climax. I think we're up to episode 8. Mm-hmm. I looked on the menu. There's 16 and there's 4 seasons.
Oh, my God.
So I've gone the complete opposite way. Now, Manifest is...
It's a few years old.
It's
isn't
a few
it?
Years old, yeah. And it's about an aeroplane that takes off from Jamaica or somewhere like that. And during the flight, they encounter really, really awful turbulence. Like the lights come on, the life jackets, all of that sort of stuff. Anyway, and then it all just stops and they are fine, but they get redirected. So they're coming into land. And they get redirected to a completely different airport. And so everybody on the plane is like, oh, come on. Like, you know, we've just been through this awful flight. Let's just get home. They get there and when they land, the whole airport is filled with emergency services and lights flashing and all of this. And once they get off, they're not allowed to go anywhere. They're ushered into a tent and they're like, come on. What's going on? We've just landed. We want to get home. And they said, well, the problem is your plane took off in, I'm going to just make up the dates because I can't quite remember, May 2013.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they went, well, the issue is that today is November 2018. So the plane.
It's a good premise, isn't it?
It's a really good premise. So the plane, for everybody else in real life, it disappeared for 5.5 years.
Wow.
But for them, the 5 minutes of turbulence, that's all it was.
So weird.
So they
so
landed.
So like a how do you say it? Bermuda?
Bermuda Triangle?
Bermuda?
Well, I don't know yet.
Okay.
Because, you know,
oh, you're only,
16 episodes.
Yeah, you're only halfway through
yeah.
the first season.
Then what happens is all the people who are on the plane, things start happening and they are inextricably linked to each other and strange things start happening. So something incredible has happened in those few minutes of the turbulence that equaled 5.5 years. But I think one of the most interesting parts is, and the bit that kind of kept blowing my mind was they came back with nothing having changed for them. But for the people who were left at home, their whole world had changed. So somebody came home and was engaged. When she arrived 5.5 years later, her partner had moved on, married somebody else. Like, how weird would that be?
Mm.
There were twins who were kids.
A little bit like
who,
Tom Hanks in
Big.
No, the one where he's on the island. Castaway.
Yeah, Castaway. But they knew they were gone. Like he
yeah,
knew there was
yeah.
that time
oh, yeah.
difference
true, true,
for
true,
them.
True.
There was no time difference. Mm. So a twin who was a kid, for him, when he got home and saw his sister, suddenly his sister's a teenager.
Oh, that's weird.
And he's like, what is going
that's
on?
That's really weird.
Anyway, it's interesting. Heaps and heaps of twists, as you could probably imagine, and quite a bit of conspiracy happening in there. So it's a fun one. It felt to me a bit filmed like an upmarket Hallmark movie in a way. So not highest of quality.
Not your Lost sort of budget.
Not your Lost budget.
Okay.
I mean, they've still got a lot of stuff in there, but there's some good actors.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Will you continue with it?
I think I will. I really want to know what happened.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to be a Lost thing where.
Yeah, it gets confusing
and
you
I
lose
got really,
interest.
I lost interest. Yeah. I got bored and actually didn't even know what happened.
No, I don't know either.
So. Sometimes with those things, I wish there was just one season.
Yeah, limited series. You find out what happens. Everybody moves on.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. A lot of merits to it. I watched an Australian show called Totally Completely Fine on Stan.
I've heard about this. What did you think?
I really liked it. It was only six episodes. I think they could.
See, we're into this six-episode business.
I think they could potentially go for another season.
I had that feeling that they might.
But it was a really weird premise.
Mm.
And at first I was like, oh, okay, all right. But I think it was handled really nicely. So the main character, her name is Vivian, played by Thomasin McKenzie. You may have seen her in other stuff. But Viv, she is one of three siblings. Mm-hmm. She's kind of like the... The black sheep,
yeah.
The black sheep. And her grandfather dies. Her and her two brothers go to the will reading and she gets his house and the other two don't get anything that big.
Mm.
Anyway, so she moves in and she finds out he lives in the eastern suburbs, and I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be kind of like the equivalent of the Gap.
Yes.
Now, if you're in Sydney, you know what the Gap is. Yep. It's famous, but I'll explain it in terms of this show. So she lives right up against a cliff face mm-hmm. that faces the ocean. That's where her backyard is. And often her grandfather would come out and find somebody absolutely distraught and upset
mm.
and they want to jump and yep. end their lives. And the same thing happens to her.
Mm.
And the first one, she manages to talk the lady back and they yeah. become quite good friends.
Yeah.
And it happens sporadically during this season. And you think, sometimes you see these people and you think, oh, I've seen this person in Bell Shakespeare. Like, this is going to be a mm. massive character. Mm. And then you don't see them again.
Oh, okay.
But then other characters yeah. do come back and forth, and it's not so much about her saving people.
No, okay.
But it's more about her finding herself again.
Yes.
And her interest in life and not just sort of going along and drinking and doing whatever.
So I'm making the assumption that her, was it grandfather?
Grandfather.
Grandfather. That her grandfather intentionally exactly. left the house to
absolutely.
Her to
yeah.
give her this responsibility. Yep.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah. And there's some really nice, interesting characters in there. There are some interesting relationships. Obviously, relationships change and grow mm. or whatever during the course of these six episodes. And I think I got through it in 2 days.
Oh, okay.
I
nice.
Really liked it.
I'm gonna watch it.
It felt like a proper Australian,
yes.
like those kind of drama, like dramedies.
Yes.
Bit of
yes.
comedy, bit of drama.
That's what The Unusual Suspects were like.
Yeah, that's right. You know, which was last week you were yeah, talking about that.
There is such a big difference in Australian
yeah.
works. They can be incredible mm. or they can just be a bit subpar,
yeah.
which I hate to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they're incredible, they're so worth it.
Yeah, they've got to get the – well, I mean, they don't all have to be funny, but if they're going to do the comedy, they've got to get that quirk right.
Yes. Yep.
So that one is called Totally, Completely Fine. Look, I just want to talk about one thing really quickly.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about From Season 2, but I'm only 2 episodes in because I'm okay. drip feeding it. So I kind of want to get
yeah.
another one under my belt
okay.
before I can talk about it. But I've started Jedi Survivor, the Respawn game,
mm.
A bit Souls-like, a bit Metroidvania they all talk about. And if you don't know what that means, it means it's a game where the map where you have to go interweaves with itself, and some places you go past and you can't get into it.
Oh, okay.
But you have to either, you know, go around another way
yeah.
or you have to wait for another skill that you can get a skill point and
yes.
get a skill, and then you can open up that part of the thing. And Souls-like means you come across enemies or, you know, the mm. boss, like you can tell yeah. when you're about to get into a boss arena and they're really hard and you've got to learn the movements,
the skills
yeah,
for
of what
it,
the
yeah.
boss does. But they're all like Star Wars creatures and characters
yeah.
and stuff, and it's really cool. This one seems bigger, a bit more open worldy at mm. times. I haven't gotten I feel like I've gone quite far, maybe 4 hours or something.
Okay.
But I have seen other people go further, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to watch anymore. Just I don't want to like spoil it for myself. You can choose what color your lightsaber was, and last time I chose purple.
Fun.
And this time they had a white one, and I went, oh, I wonder what that looks like. And then he's got, and then could you get different outfits for him
yeah.
for Cal? And I've got a kind of off-white, like dirty white, because
yeah.
I'm busy. I'm
okay.
a busy Jedi
yeah, yeah, yeah.
with my white lightsaber.
Yeah.
I look so cool. but, yeah, I will switch it up. I will change the colors as the game goes by, but it's good
like
fun.
A mood ring.
Yeah, I'm a mood ring Jedi. But I've come across a Rancor in a cave, and I'm finding that a little bit difficult.
Oh.
Now, Rancor is the creature that was in Was it? It must have been Return of the Jedi underneath Jabba the Hutt's seat.
Yeah.
And Luke goes in there and there's like this big monster. And then Luke puts the bone in the monster's mouth and he can't close it, remember?
So gross.
Yeah. And there are bones in where this one is. And I'm trying to throw it and it's really hard to aim it properly whilst, you know, trying to not get killed by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good fun. Anything else you've been watching before we get into the quiz?
I watched a show on Netflix. It's one of the Netflix docos, or maybe it's reality, a bit more reality, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, it's called I Am Georgina.
But you're not.
No, I'm not. That's true.
So it can't be reality.
Yeah. Oh, golly. Well, how do I explain it then? I watched a show.
A show that is in the reality genre?
Yeah.
About a girl.
And the title is called. I Am Georgina.
Yeah, that's better.
Anyway, it follows the wife of famous, famous, successful soccer player Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
So
he's from Portugal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is an interesting show in that it lets you look into the world of the supreme wealthy.
Would be so rich.
Like, he earns something stupid like $30 million a year.
Because for us to know him.
I know. I don't watch soccer. I have no idea. Anyway, I started at not knowing that it was about him. He's a sideline. It's about her.
Yeah, okay. Is she Portuguese as well?
Spanish, I think.
Sure.
I should know that because I have watched it. Anyway, it's really interesting to see the wealth. I mean, they have a garage, which you could imagine has like 15 ridiculously expensive cars, you know, the Maseratis, the Bugattis, like cars we would never even see in our lifetime. But how you know they're wealthy is that on the wall is a gold-plated label for every car. Like, here is where I park my Maserati because there is a gold-plated Maserati symbol there. On the next one is the gold-plated Lamborghini. You know, they just fly private everywhere. They've got all the wealth in the world, beautiful properties, all of that. So it's really interesting to have a nice little glimpse into that, into the world that we would never know.
Yeah, never.
But it's incredibly self-indulgent, as you could imagine. And
But isn't that what you're there for?
Yeah, but it gets a little bit like,
okay.
Because she's essentially narrating her life story through this, obviously being interviewed, but she's talking about it all. And the beginning of it comes across as, I guess, maybe a little bit endearing and interesting. And as it goes on, you're like, you're actually just surrounded by people who will say whatever you want. So she goes back to the little town that she grew up in, and the comments are like, and so I went back to this ballet school and my ballet teacher that I had told me, Georgina, you are the best ballerina that we've ever seen. And then they cut to the person who's like, Georgina was the most beautiful ballerina, but she'd never pursued it. And you're like, do you really believe that, or are you just saying it because this woman who's incredibly successful and wealthy is standing in front of you with a camera crew?
She might throw some money.
She might throw some money at the school. What are you going to say? She was okay. She was good, but she was never going to make it.
Yeah.
But what was really interesting was how they met. So she worked at Gucci just as like a salesperson, and she got a call saying, you need to keep the store open because some woman's going to come and buy something. And she was like, okay. Which I could imagine kind of happens a bit in those high-end stores. Anyway, so she keeps the shop open and it's him and, you know, flirting all of these, blah, blah, blah. That's a great story. But I thought that was a funny way that she's actually a service person.
Yeah.
Anyway, then the people she worked with at Gucci used to laugh at her because she would catch the bus to Gucci and then Cristiano Ronaldo would come and pick her up in like one of these fancy cars after work. So anyway, there's two seasons of it, which I can't believe.
That's a lot.
There is. But then again, maybe they're just so self-indulgent they paid for it. But here's the epitome of wealth and, I guess, kind of paying what you want. they premiered the show in Dubai on the side of the Burj Khalifa.
Of course they did. That's brilliant. I love that. That's
for her
so
to
good.
Watch on the balcony of some other building.
Amazing. Oh, yeah, because I heard that they've moved over there because he's playing.
He's playing for one of them now.
Team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So maybe two seasons is too much for you, but if you are a Wives of Football playing fan, then maybe it's a really good one to watch.
I think if that was a bit more of your world, you might be a little bit more interested.
So is he in it that much? He can't be. He'd be busy,
a bit,
right?
But he's obviously really busy.
Yeah.
Because she would go, oh, I've got appointments, and get on a private jet to Monaco.
Yeah, right.
Then come back again. And he doesn't.
Day trip.
Yeah. And then she's just there with friends.
Oh, okay.
So clearly he's not around and she needs people to do stuff with because she doesn't live a normal life.
I think that sounds fascinating, but not as fascinating as the quiz.
Never as fascinating as the quiz.
This quiz is called Which Season of Below Deck is this episode from?
This is really funny because the other day I was thinking I'm going to make a Below Deck quiz for Leah.
Is it this?
No, it's slightly different, but I never get myself organized. And then we go to record and I'm like, oh,
if only I'd done something.
But maybe I will for next week.
Maybe. All right. So there may or may not be.
Look, let's see how lucky we are.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so which season?
Yes, I'm going to give you the synopsis.
Okay.
And then you have to give me the season.
Is it across all franchises?
Yes.
Below Deck. Brilliant.
But some of them.
I'm so excited. I'm smiling.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I'm so excited.
This is my favorite one, okay? Number six is my favorite one. Alyssa is a dead woman walking the moment she calls Captain Sandy just Sandy.
Oh, yeah. Which season?
Mm-hmm.
Like as in the number season? Oh, my gosh. Okay, so it's actually Below Deck, not Below Deck Med, because it's the season where Sandy took over from Lee. Is that season? Oh, I don't know the numbers very well. Is it season 10?
Yes.
Yes. That's the
season 10, episode 12.
But what I could do is give you the backstory of every single one.
I want to give you a little quote from a Vulture article.
Okay.
Where they did a recap of this episode because I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
So that's where I got that from. Alicia was dead woman walking the moment she calls Captain Sandy just Sandy. That is bad. That is, there's simply no recovering from that. Even for the most remorseful and regretful crew member, it would be an uphill battle. For Alyssa, impossible. I loved it. Yeah. I thought that was so good. Okay. Adrian deals with some friends becoming inappropriate to Kat while Sam and CJ try to defuse the consequences of a difficult situation.
Okay. This is Below Deck, season 3. 2.
1.
What?
Adrian.
Yeah, but I... Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's not the one where she came as a guest.
I thought it was when she came back as a guest.
No. She did have annoying people, remember?
I'm really annoyed by that.
I'm annoyed by that too. I thought you were going to get that one.
But I do remember that CJ and the other lady, what's her face? Not Kat. They did nothing.
Sam?
Yeah.
Mm.
They did nothing.
I feel like I could rewatch that soon.
Yeah, like is on it a daily day that basis. Ends in Y?
Yeah, right. Captain Lee grows increasingly frustrated with Kelly after a series of missteps by the newly minted bosun.
Yeah.
Kate is surprised by a visitor that rattles Ben's ego to the core. Kelly steps up his game in his pursuit of Emily. Meanwhile, a terrifying boat incident leaves the lives of charter guests hanging in the balance.
Now, I don't remember what happened to the charter guests.
Ah, probably nothing.
But I do remember Lee having a go at Kelly about one dot of dirt and which side of the glass it was on.
Do you think he chucked a Sandy?
Yeah.
But he did it to the the deck crew, not the interior.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is
you've
unusual for her.
You've got it. Captain Lee was always really tough on Kelly. Kelly's a boy.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was that bad.
Well, compared to Sandy.
Sandy's the worst. Okay, this is Below Deck season. Let me count the. I want to say season four.
Season four, yes. Episode six.
Yeah.
An awkward jacuzzi party ends in a screaming match.
This could be any of them.
The Daisy tries but fails to mediate. Jean-Luc plans a romantic date for Danny. And when Captain Glenn announces that a last-minute charter is coming aboard, the passable crew goes into a tailspin.
This is Below Deck Sailing Yacht, and I believe it is season two.
It's season two, episode 15. The reason they go into a tailspin is because another ship, aka the production company, aka Bravo, have hired the Parsifal.
That's right.
For another crew.
For the crew of another boat. As if they would ever
They would never pay.
For a yacht for your staff to go on. You'd be like, here, have a day off.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not paying for anything
for
you.
Not paying
for
that. That's too much. Sandy comes down hard on the interior.
That could be any episode of any season ever.
And it's leaving Adam to defend himself. Hannah puts her feelings on the line with Conrad. How did you used to say, is it Joao gets tough on Jamie after she accidentally oversleeps. Now that Casey's seasickness is under control, I forgot about that. Hannah turns her focus and frustrations on the third stew's slow-moving pace. A new charter begins that has everyone on crew barely keeping up to fulfill the request.
Oh, my gosh. I know exactly which season, but I cannot think of what number it is. All right. It's not, definitely not one.
Not one.
Definitely not two.
Not two. Are you just going to keep going?
I'm thinking them through.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say it's Below Deck Med for certain, season four.
Three.
Oh,
but it's episode four.
Really? So only maybe season three?
Yeah.
So Sandy had already had it out for Hannah.
Yeah.
By season three.
Yeah. Ready for the final one?
Yeah, okay.
Forced to reckon with their friction, Francesca finally comes to a decision regarding Elizabeth's future on deck. Meanwhile, Rachel's feelings towards the interior take a toll on the crew. As Izzy and Rob's relationship takes a dark turn, James makes a shocking betrayal. Ultimately, unforeseen world events completely alter the course My Sienna's charter season, leaving everyone uncertain of their future.
Yes. So this is Below Deck, and this is the year that COVID hit.
Yep.
2020. So I'm going to say it's Below Deck season. Wait, who?
Francesca was
Australian. So who was Chief Stew
Kate,
this time?
Oh.
With Sandy changing them.
Oh.
Changing in.
Who? The guy. English bloke.
Oh, yeah. Fraser. Yeah, I like him. Okay. I think it's Below Deck 8.
Yeah.
Yes.
Episode 16, which was probably the last episode. So good. Well done. You did very, very well. I think
you only
got one season incorrect.
Yeah, why not? Maybe one.
But you knew what every single episode was. It's impressive.
I love it because it's such a good show.
So bad. I love it. So good. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You win two little Easter eggs that you've already eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
Below Deck's the best.